We will read together the Word of God in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. Zechariah, chapter 4. It is the last book of the Old Testament but one. Zechariah, chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Amen. We know the Lord will bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. We will bow before the Lord as we come to his own word. Our loving Father, we do pray that thou wilt be mindful of us. We pray that the words of our lips and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. O, close us in with thee, we pray. Shut out every distracting thought and grant to us the Holy Ghost, the promised Holy Ghost. May the Spirit of the Lord magnify him and glorify our Redeemer. Draw us after thee this day, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. Zechariah chapter 4 and the verse 10. The question is asked, Who hath despised the day of small things? Who hath despised the day of small things? The exiles who had returned to Jerusalem They faced numerous difficulties. They were few in number. They had scant and meager resources from which to rebuild the house of God. The first steps they took in the reconstruction work seemed futile, insignificant, and bound ultimately to conclude in failure. It was a day of small things. Many concluded that it would all come to nothing. Though the foundation was laid, they maintained little more would be added to the structure. Discouragement, despondency was on every hand, in every heart. We too have the tendency to frown on the insignificant. That which is large, growing, expanding, impresses us. We have adopted the ideology, big is beautiful. The small family store has been crushed by the consumer's desire for the supermarket, the hypermarket. Men build bigger and better roads, bigger and better aircraft. We are fascinated by that which is huge. It was a day of small things in Zechariah's time. The same must be said of the Lord's work this morning. There are few giant strides taken in the work. Few branches in the Lord's vineyard run over the wall. There are not many sheaves being gathered into the gospel garner today. The powers that be, they ride roughshod over the things that are godly and right. The light of God's word is disregarded. Like Zechariah and Zerubbabel, we are in a day of small things. The Lord had this word for his people, and it is applicable to ourselves. We will look at this text in three ways. First of all, the contempt of the day of small things. The word despised reflects an attitude of contempt. Here is a state of mind which views a situation, a circumstance, and counts it of little value. The people looked on those tentative steps taken to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and their hearts failed them. They said to themselves, "What's the use? It's a waste of time, of effort, and of energy." The foundation of the temple was so insignificant in the eyes of those Jews who had looked at the glory of the original building. They wept with a loud voice over the comparison. It's so far short of the original that it will come to nothing. Their enemies, they provoked fun at their efforts also. We think of what Nehemiah experienced. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verses 1, 2, and 3. It came to pass, Nehemiah says, when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish? which are burned. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So these twin enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah, they united in despising the Lord's work. They said among themselves, if a fox brushes its tail against the wall, it will come crashing to nothing. Friend and foe looked on it as a day of small things. God's people were discouraged at their feeble efforts and the seemingly insurmountable obstacles. They were discouraged, and the enemy was gloating over their apparent weakness. All were despising the day of small things. There's a prevailing tendency with us to do the same. We are apt to lose heart, to wring our hands in despair when the fruit of all our efforts seems to amount to so little. When our field of service is restricted, we tend to despise it. D.L. Moody was conducting a Sunday afternoon meeting, and he noticed a Sunday school teacher present who at that time ought to have been taking her class. And afterwards, Mr. Moody asked her what had happened. She said, I went to the room and found only one little boy, and so I came away. Only a little boy, said Mr. Moody. Think of the value of one such soul. The fires of a reformation may be slumbering in his heart. There may be a John Knox, a John Wesley, or a George Whitefield in your class. We have a contempt for the day of small things, and that ought not to be so. God does not despise the day of small things. Think of the Lord's hand in nature. From the tiniest seed, it's just a speck in the palm of your hand. And from the tiniest seed, God brings out the flower, clothed with a beauty superior to the king's refinery. From the little acorn, God raises the mighty oak. The fast-flowing river, full of water from bank to bank, at its commencement, it's just a tiny trickle. In many periods of history and God's work, it has been a day of small things. If we take our minds back to the days of Noah, Abraham, Elijah, and the prophets, we find that the true worshippers of God were so few as to be signs and wonders in the age and the nation in which they lived. When the Lord exercised his earthly ministry, the number of his disciples was no more than 120. And even now, they are few. The Lord's followers are few in comparison with those who serve Mammon. They are a little flock who walk in the narrow and unfrequented way. In Matthew 7 and the verse 14, the Lord says of those who are his, Matthew 7 and the verse 14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You and I know how God has used little things. The tears of the baby Moses were used to move the heart of Pharaoh's daughter to pluck him out from among the bulrushes and to care for him. Just the tears of the baby. God used the sling of the shepherd boy to slay the giant Goliath. The jawbone of an ass was used in the hand of Samson to slay 1,000 of the enemy. The Lord took up unlettered fishermen to take the gospel to the world. We discover in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 through to 28, just those, the kind of people that the Lord uses. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Far from despising small things, God uses such. And we ought not to frown at the day of small things, but look at the potential to accomplish great things for the Lord at such a time. The contempt of the day of small things. But secondly, let us consider together the challenge of the day of small things. The words of our text amount to a challenge to press on in the work of the Lord, to let not our hands be slack, but be filled with labor, with earnest endeavor. It was not the will of God that these returned exiles would sit down amidst the ruins and despair of ever accomplishing anything. God did not intend them to be bowled over by the taunts and the jeers of their enemies. No, these are words of challenge, acting as a goad to spur them on. In the day of small things, there should be dissatisfaction that it is so. You and I ought not to be satisfied with the day of small things in our spiritual experience. The pilgrims on the way to Zion, they are spoken of in Psalm 84 and the verse 7. Psalm 84 and verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Here are people who are going from strength to strength, from virtue to virtue. They are changed from glory to glory, till at last they appear before God in Zion. It's written up of David in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and the verse 10. 2 Samuel 5 and verse 10. These are striking words. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. The margin, you will see, has the rendering, David went going and growing. Oh, this is what the Lord would have us to be doing, to be going and growing. The man climbing the ladder, he uses each rung that he puts his foot on to reach an even greater height. And what you have learned of Christ, use it to learn more. Do not be satisfied with a little knowledge, that I might know him. Let that be the desire, the longing of your heart. We ought not to be satisfied as a congregation with present attainments, with the day of small things. It's a challenge to us to seek more ground for the Lord. We must not fall under the reproof of those in Joshua's time, in Joshua chapter 18 and the verse 3. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given unto you? They were slack, lackadaisical, about possessing the land. The possessing of the land of Canaan was not even half accomplished. Seven tribes had still to receive their inheritance. But here's the people happy with what has been achieved to date. They have settled at Shiloh. They are not exerting themselves to fresh efforts to take the land for God. How dissatisfied we should be, yearning that the gospel will reach more and more hearts. Praying the prayer of Jabez there in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. He called on the God of Israel in verse 10. Here was his prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Oh, to have a burdened heart like Jabez, and be seeking the enlargement of our coast. Moses in Psalm 90 and the verse 17, he has this longing. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We must not only arouse, this text ought not to not only arouse dissatisfaction, it should also awaken diligence. The parable of the talents, it teaches diligence in the day of small things, and that diligence leads on to greater things. In Matthew chapter 25, we have this parable for us. Matthew 25 and verses 22 and 3. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The man had just two talents. He might have said to himself, what does it matter? I've only two talents. I do not have five like my neighbours. Sure, I might as well sit down and rest. It's not worth my while exerting myself. He was diligent in the day of small things. He employed those two talents. He put them to work. And he was made the ruler over many things. Though it is a day of small things in the work of God, on that account, let us double our efforts, labor all the more, seeking the advancement of the Lord's cause, compelled by the spirit of John the Baptist, when he said he must increase, but I must decrease. May we ever be in a quest that the Lord's kingdom will come, that others will be reached for Christ and added to his church. And then finally we come to the comfort in the day of small things. Notice what we read here in verse 10 of Zechariah 4. Who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. There's much comfort in this text for the builders of the spiritual temple. We are viewing here Zerubbabel with the plumb line in his hand, and he's going round the building. It's inspection time, and he's giving the newly constructed building the final inspection. It's finished. The work has been brought to a conclusion. The work to us, it seems to make such slow progress. Hearts are hard. The enemies of the cross seem to triumph. Though all of that is so, God, whose eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him, he will bring the work of his gospel to a glorious conclusion. The church which the Lord loved and gave himself for will be built. All for whom Christ died on the cross, they will be saved. The day of small things will become the day of great things. God can make the latter end to greatly increase. Think of the grain of mustard seed that we read of in the scriptures. That mustard seed grew into a tree, into a great tree. Do not despise the light of the dawn, for it shines more and more to the perfect day. The difficulties faced by these returning exiles were like mountains. See the wording in verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. We're looking here at the completion of the building. He will bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. The Lord promises in Isaiah 41 and the verse 15. The people of God are mentioned under the name Jacob in verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. Is there anything more despised than a worm. It is so feeble. It is so insignificant. And here's how the people of God are depicted, as a worm. But the Lord says, "Fear not, ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold," verse 15, "I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff." Oh, none can resist the Lord. His promise is sure. In Isaiah 40, verses 4 and 5, we read, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Oh, let the weak hands be strong. The faint-hearted take fresh courage. The temple of the Lord will be built, and the headstone will be brought forth with shoutings, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." So let us continue in the work. Let us go forth in the Lord's service, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our work is not in vain in the Lord. Perhaps you have despised the day of gospel opportunity. The Lord to you is like the stone which the builders refused. He set it not. In your heart, there is no place for Jesus Christ. Oh, you cannot be right with God while you reject the Lord Jesus, the chief cornerstone, that tried stone, that sure foundation. Christ is the only foundation upon which you can build for eternity. Any other basis that you're building your hopes on for eternity is sand, sinking sand. Come to the Savior, hide in his wounds. May the words of Acts 13 and verse 41 never ring in your ears. "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish." May you wonder today that God was in Christ at the cross, reconciling the world to himself. And because Christ has died and has risen again, and who lives and is able to save to the uttermost, you today can become a Christian. You can be saved from the guilt and power of your sin. You can be brought nigh to God through Jesus Christ. May you make the Lord your choice, and then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts. We'll bow together in prayer. Lord, we do thank thee for thy speaking voice. Thou hast said to us that we are not to despise the day of small things. We pray that our spiritual stature will ever be growing, that as our bodies prosper and are in health, so our souls will prosper. Help us, Lord, to be like David, going and growing. May we ever be adding to our faith virtue. May we ever be growing, Lord, up in Thee, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Deliver us from the spirit of the people in Joshua's time who were slack to possess their possessions. Lord, fill our hearts and hands with endeavor, with zeal. May we be clad with zeal as with a cloak, and may we know more and more what it is to be workers together with God. And we pray that truly, Lord, Thy kingdom will come, and there will be the building up of the walls of Thy church again, and the strengthening of that which God has wrought among us. Remember us then for good, and bless Thy word to every heart. And we pray that those, Lord, who have not as yet knelt at the cross, we pray that faith will come to them, saving faith. May they cast themselves upon Thy mercy, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, save me. I perish. Bless Thy word to us all, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.